Let's begin this morning at verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some of the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the blessing it is that we can gather together this morning. We look forward to the services today, to the service to follow. Father, as we hope to have a lot of visitors here, first responders and veterans and some public officials. And Father, I pray that there would be nothing that would hinder them from being here. Father, I pray for Brother Paul that you would give him the words to say as he speaks to us this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill him and that you would reach every heart. And I pray you'd help us this morning as we look at this subject of spiritual gifts. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us spiritually and for these gifts that you've given to everyone of us here that are your children, for the purpose of edifying one another and that the body might be edified and grow. And Father, I just pray you'd help us understand that more today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, starting off in this chapter, just going through great principles in this section that we looked at this morning. We start off in verse number 12, speaking about the body is one and yet has many members. Okay, this is talking about the body of Christ, which Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth, and he tells them in verse number 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ." So every New Testament church is a body of Christ. And verse number 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that there is one baptism. So at this time, when you think about the baptism of the Spirit, people say, what about that? Well, that was done. That was completed at this time. So this is water baptism. There in verse number 13, we come into this body. We're after scriptural baptism. So we're all members, one body, yet many members. So he's dealing with this. And he brings out the illustration of the physical body, which makes sense only in the context of a local church body. It makes no sense in the context of a universal body. It makes no sense whatsoever. And such great illustrations that you can think of as it relates to the human body. Just as I was reading through it, just more and more popping in my head, gifts that certain parts of our body have. Okay, what are some, as far as your physical body, what are some gifts that certain parts of your body have that other parts of your body don't have.
Hearing.
Okay. I'll give you a hint. Hearing. So what parts of your body can hear? Okay, your ears. And if your ears don't work, there's still, you can still hear in some ways. I mean, with, you think about the through the bones and stuff, I mean, just but around your ears, how God has done that. So your ears work, and yet there are times when your ears don't work. I don't know if you've seen, there was a Christian girl, I don't remember her name now. I can't think of what her name is now, but she was in a church. She lost her hearing like when she was 19 or 20. She was a musician, played in church, and so she still played instruments, but she, it was just by muscle memory. But when she would play, she would take her shoes off and be barefoot so that she could feel the vibrations, so she could feel the beat of the music, the rhythm. So that helped her to be able to, she lost her hearing, but so her feet then took up some of that. What her ears used to do, now her feet were doing that. Why? Because one part of her body lost that gift, so another part, I mean, didn't take it up, but compensated for that. If you're walking around at nighttime and the lights are all off, okay, your eyes can't see very well, so what do you use? Your hands, your pinky toe, sometimes if to see where that chair's at or that table leg. But you use different parts of your body, and you feel, and you're touching things, and you're figuring, you know, you know where certain things are at, but you start feeling. And your hands are doing something that your eyes usually would do. And in a church, so often that's what happens. There's certain people that have gifts. And for one reason or another, maybe that gift is gone or it's diminished. Let's say it's just out for a while. You know, we've had members that, you know, Brother John's out. He's been out now for a few weeks. Sister Chris is back with us this morning. She's been out for a few weeks. So while she was gone, others had to use her gift. Maybe not as well as she did. Others have to use John's gift. You know, one of the things that John does in I guess the ministry of gift of helps is, you know, deposits money from the offerings. Well, that's still being done, but just not as well. You know, on Friday, Breno said, "Did you deposit the money?" I'll say, "It's in there today, promise. It's going." So John gets it done better, gets it done faster. But as things lack, other parts of the body pick up. That's just how a body works, and that's how a church body should work. And it's interesting here, when he tells us in verse number 22, "Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh." So those parts that we think, those members that we think aren't as talented, aren't as necessary, God's probably given them more spiritual gifts than what you have. Or those that we think, well, this person is really necessary, they may have fewer spiritual gifts. But the one that we think is less necessary, they may have a lot more. You may think, I'm not a necessary part. I'm an uncomely part of the body. You may think that. Well, if that's true, you probably have more spiritual gifts that you're supposed to be exercising that God's given to you to help the body. So it's important that we understand what those are. And this morning, we're going to just go through some of the gifts, maybe not all of them, some of them that are enumerated in the Bible, and just give a quick definition of them, not expanding upon them a lot this morning. We've already talked about them being divided into kind of two different groups. What were those two groups of gifts? What's that? Public and private. Or what? How else could we describe them? Speaking or serving. Okay, speaking or serving. Public or private. Both of those are good ways of terming it, though a lot of the serving gifts would still be public, but not necessarily to a larger group at one time necessarily. So the speaking gifts we described as prophecy, teaching, exhortation. There are some speaking gifts, some serving gifts, governments or ruling, administration, helps, our ministry, giving, mercy. We also have in the Bible tongues and the interpretation of tongues. We have the healing, miracles, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom as well. So those would have been speaking gifts as well. We have particular people in Ephesians 4 describes as gifts, pastor, evangelist, prophet, or pastor and teacher, prophet, apostle, evangelist. So we have those as well. So what would be for the one that, just looking at the people themselves, the pastor or pastor teacher, what would be a quick definition of what gift that one would have? What are they enabled to do?
What was the question?
As far as the pastor, the gift of a pastor teacher, what they're described as a gift to the church. What are they enabled to do in order to help the church?
Preaching and teaching.
Okay, preaching and teaching. Enabled to lead and care for the church. Think about a pastor being a shepherd, to enable to lead and care for the church, which includes the preaching and teaching and other things as well, private things that wouldn't be public preaching and teaching, but there's a lot of other things that go on behind the scenes, care, counseling, those sort of things that take place. What about the evangelist? What are they enabled to do?
One is exhort.
Okay, specifically with the lost, exhort to in relation to the gospel. But even to the saved, they can exhort to evangelize. You need to be an encouragement to, because we're all supposed to be evangelizing. So there's not a gift of evangelism. This is the gift of the evangelist, what we call a missionary or church planner. But they're enabled to teach and exhort the message of the gospel, not just to the lost, but also to the saved. The gift of apostle. So we have the office in the scriptures, chosen by Christ, ordained by Christ, sent out by Christ, baptized by John the Baptist. There's no one today that fulfills that. No one's old enough. Been around since Christ and have been baptized by John the Baptist. But as far as what they did, they were sent out by Christ in the establishing of the church, the foundation of the church. It was built upon that. Prophets being the same. Okay, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Prophets not just being foretellers of what was coming in the future, but also just proclaiming the word of God. As you know, Barnabas, Silas, they're called prophets as they preached the word of God. So what about tongues? What was the gift of tongues? What did that person, what were they enabled to do?
They were instantly able to speak in another language that they had not studied.
Right. They were able to speak in another language. Foreign language that they did not study, and it was specifically in the scriptures was a sign to the Jews. So when you look in the scriptures and you look through the Old Testament over and over again, God warned the Jews about a sign of his judgment was that they're going to hear those that speak a strange language and utter strange sounds. That was a sign of God's judgment upon them. So it's specifically a sign to the Jews. So the interpretation of tongues would be someone that would be enabled to interpret what the person with the gift of tongues would be speaking, or be able to interpret a foreign language that they maybe you know, Barnabas, maybe he had the gift of interpretation of tongues, and when they went into Lyconia and hearing the speech of the Lyconians, he was able to hear that, not know that language, but be able to interpret that so that they knew what was going on. That'd be an example of that, interpretation of tongues. Healing, so it enabled to perform evident miracles, instantaneous, miraculous healing. Miracles, again, a miraculous event, special signs to confirm the message of Revelation. And those would be part of the sign gifts. What were the sign gifts? What were the purpose of the sign gifts, according to Mark?
To confirm the word.
To confirm the word. Okay. Mark 16 talks about that. So they're to confirm the word. So you have two people preaching different messages, contrary messages. Paul is preaching one thing, someone else is preaching something completely contrary and false. God would give special ability, these signs that the apostles would do in order to confirm the word. Here's someone that's dead, they're raised from the dead. Okay, that's a pretty big sign. Here's someone that's never walked before, they've never seen before, they can now see, they can now jump up and walk around. That was a sign to confirm the word that they were preaching. So those sign gifts were very specific gifts. We won't get into it today, but they are their past. Now that we have the Word of God completed, those sign gifts are no longer necessary. What about discerning spirits? We have that described for us. Someone that has the gift of discerning of spirits, what would that be? And is it a sign gift? Is it a gift that's past?
But not telling the future, but explaining to somebody what the word says, or if they're going in the wrong direction or something.
Okay, we'll turn over to 1 John. First John, chapter 4, and verse number 1. So this is something that we are commanded to do, every one of us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So discerning of spirits would have been a gift that enabled someone to, as someone was preaching and teaching, maybe especially in these early days of churches being established and many preachers traveling. John talks about those that are traveling, preaching the gospel, that they're to receive, churches were to receive them and send them on their way and be a blessing to them. So these preachers are traveling. There's also a lot of false teachers, false prophets. So here's someone that has, God's given them the ability to discern, listen, this guy's a phony. this guy's message is wrong. It does not fit with the Word of God. So that was a special ability, but we are to be exercising that. We are to try the spirits.
Amen.
See, we're not necessarily have the gift of discerning of spirits, but I wouldn't necessarily classify that as a. It's not a sign gift. We are to be exercising that today. So that could be a gift that God gives someone in particular. They just have the ability to be able to discern some things. Those that are teaching and preaching, they're able to protect the church from false teachers and seducing spirits. They just have that gift that God's given to them.
Aside from someone having a gift of that, I would have to believe that every member of the New Testament church has to be a discerner of spirits in
yes.
this day and age.
Yes. When we think about all these gifts, all the gifts that are around today, gifts of service, gifts of giving, teaching, all of us are to be exercising these things. We ought to be developing these things. We ought to be developing mercy. If you're not merciful, if you say, I don't have the gift of mercy, that doesn't give you the right to be cruel. Okay? You need to develop compassion. Now, you may not exercise that nearly as well as someone that has the gift of mercy, but you need to be merciful. And so we all need to be discerning spirits and testing, trying the spirits whether they are of God. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, we don't have a lot of examples of that necessarily in scriptures, maybe a few, but where they are enabled to declare special revelation from God, able to apply that in a certain situation. I don't believe we have that anymore. There's no need for that because we have God's word. And we have the source of knowledge and the source of wisdom. What about mercy? Someone that has mercy, what are they enabled to do? Be merciful. Okay. Be compassionate. Forgiving. Okay. Having that forgiving spirit. Compassionate towards those that are needy, towards those that are undeserving. There are times that we meet people that don't deserve mercy. I mean, in our eyes, they don't deserve it. They've run out all their excuses. They've done so much, and they don't deserve mercy. And yet, the one that has the gift of mercy, they still have a heart and compassion for them, and they're willing to show mercy. They're willing to do that. Get to giving. So someone that's enabled, not just enabled to give economically or materially, but they're motivated to do that. I mean, if you have a job, God's given you the ability to give. But you may not have the gift of giving. You may not say, oh, great, I got a check for $500 today. I can't wait to give away, you know, after my tithe and faith of promise, I can't wait to give away 400 of it. And that'll leave me a few bucks to spend for the rest of the next week. You may not have that gift, but we all are commanded to give. Administration, our governments, the ability to maintain order, direction, motivation, be able to organize things, figure out how, you know, what needs to be done to accomplish a goal and set things in motion to do that. Helps or ministry service. So you're enabled to meet the material needs of others, not just financial, but something needs to be done. Someone needs your helping hand, and you just have the heart, the ability to see what needs to be done, and get in there and do it. You can take commands. You're not offended when someone tells you, listen, you're doing it wrong, do it this way. You just hop in there and you do it. You're just an instrument that God can use. Teaching, you're enabled to understand the scriptures and be able to communicate the truths of God's word. Exhortation, you're enabled to give advice and counsel and motivate others to maintain purity of doctrine and obedience to the Word of God. So all those are very important. So we consider these gifts. Which ones of them can be developed as far as you have the gift? It's not like you're trying to make yourself have the gift, but you have the gift, but it can be developed. Which ones are those? Okay. Or almost all of them. The gift of healing, can't develop that. Peter didn't say, Peter and John didn't tell the guy, the lame man, to rise up and walk, and he jumped up and leaped, but only his right leg worked. And they just didn't quite have that developed yet. No, it needed all of it. It was fully done. You know, the gift of tongues, they're not speaking in tongues, but all the verbs are wrong. They're using the wrong tenses. They're using the wrong moves as they're speaking, and the people that are listening to them saying, "Well, they don't know our language very well." No, it was fully developed. The interpretation of tongues. They weren't saying, I think they said this. I'm pretty sure this is what they said. No, it was fully developed. Those are miraculous gifts that God gave to them. Fully developed, there's no developing that. There's no developing the gift of prophecy. Jehovah's Witnesses have tried that, developing their gift of prophecy on when Christ would return. So everything they just kept getting it wrong. So finally they just said, well, it was a spiritual return. Jesus returned spiritually. You can't develop the gift of prophecy. But many of these gifts, you can. Mercy, helps, exhortation, teaching, being a pastor. I mean, what's why does Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 2, the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Why do you tell them that? Because men need to be trained. God may call them, God may gift them, but they need to be trained. And that's the responsibility of the pastor and the church to train the next generation of leaders. So those things can be developed, and once you understand what your gift is, you ought to have a desire to develop it, to grow, because it's not fully developed. When God gives it to you, it's not fully developed. As you practice it, as you exercise that gift, you will get better at it. You get better at seeing the needs. You get better at seeing what needs to be accomplished in someone's life. You'll get better at using the right words. You might have the gift of mercy and find out times when you're trying to exercise that you really said the wrong things. And you really feel bad about it because you had the gift of mercy. You're compassionate, but you really messed up because you really should not have said what you said. And so you learn. And so next time you don't say that. Next time you don't respond in an inappropriate way. You respond in a way that shows your compassion and really ministers grace to the one you're dealing with. As your administration, as you're learning how to, God's given you that gift, you see what needs to be done, and yet sometimes you can rely on the flesh and think you can get something done and rely, not set things in motion as you ought to when you ought to, and you learn, okay, I need to develop this, I need to figure some more things out here, how to get people on board. And so all these gifts should be developed. As you know what they are, you ought to have a desire to grow in that and to develop those different gifts, because they're not just used for inside these walls. Many of them are. They're for this church body. But which of these gifts could be used that God could use in your life once you leave here? Throughout this week, which one of these gifts can God use in your life in the lives of either saved or lost, but that aren't members here? Which one of them? Probably all of them. And how many lost people around you need exhorting? Need to exhort them to do what's right. Need to exhort them to get in God's word and see what God thinks about their lifestyle or the gospel. They need mercy. We see people on the side of the street holding up signs, and a lot of them are there. That's their job. That's their career. They've chosen that path. They're making $70,000 to $80,000 a year, holding up a sign saying, "I need beer money," and they make $70,000 to $80,000 a year doing that. They leave their little corner, walk around the corner, get in their car, drive home to their place of to their nice house, and that's their job. There are others that are there, and they truly need. They're in that position because of sin. They're in that condition. They're miserable. And they need mercy. They need someone with a compassionate heart. They need someone giving. They need someone that's willing to help them. And so we can go out in the world and use these gifts that God's given to us. As we develop them, we'll see more and more opportunities around us where God's saying, listen, I can use you right here. I can use you in this person's life, that person in the office or that person at the gas station. I can use you in their life if you'll let me use you. But if we are not practicing our gifts, if we're not developing, if we don't even know what our gift is and we're not developing it, we're going to miss so many opportunities where God would love to use us, but we don't even recognize the need that he's wanting to use us. So it's important that we develop our gifts and know what they are so that we can be used by him. So whether inside the church or outside, as we're going about our life, out in the world, God desires us to grow in these areas that he could use us, that would be vessels meet for the master's use. Any comments or questions on any of these that we looked at today?
Yeah,
Any other thoughts? Sister Kathy?
When we first got saved, we were going to a different type of church. And after we got baptized, the pastor tried to teach us tongues. But we weren't knowledgeable back then that that was wrong. And I don't understand now that I know the Bible how they can think they can teach someone a gift, especially if they don't have that gift.
Right. Especially
when you, if they try to interpret it as ecstatic language, you know, as you know, 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. So this is still in the context of gifts. So they say, well, this is, you know, angelic language. Well, in the Bible, when you see angels speaking, what language are they speaking? English in a King James Bible, right? Or whatever language, whoever they're talking to, that's the language they're talking with, and it's probably grammatically right. Speaking correct English, speaking correct Hebrew, speaking correct whatever language they're dealing with. So the tongues of men and of angels, and it's not talking about some ecstatic language. What was it, Brother Jed? See my tie, see my bow tie, see me tie my bow tie. Just say that over and over again until you're speaking in tongues. That's not scriptural.
Key chapters, 1 Corinthians 14.
Yes. Yeah.
And the ultimate result is that the church get the edifying. So there had to be an interpreter so that the church could understand and be edified.
Right.
But it gives how many? Two, at the most, three, and that one interpreter gives the whole thing laid out in chapter 14.
Yeah.
And none of that's being followed today in the charismatic movement.
Right.
It's completely unscriptural how it's practiced today. If they just look at 1 Corinthians 14, they'd figure that out. And we'll touch on some of that as we deal with it, but we're going to really focus in on the gifts that you have, so that you can develop those, and we'll have a test to go through as well. So we're going to stop there today. We're going to have a special word of prayer for our services. Then I'd like for us to be available for those that are coming in, be friendly, talk to them, greet them, make them feel welcome. And if everyone comes that's supposed to be here, we should have 12, 15 people, guests. So I'm really hoping that all the emergencies are done today. So let's all stand together. I'm going to ask Brother Zach and Brother Brandon, will you pray for the service this morning and for our guests and just for the rest of our time today?